Lord right now. I really need the Lord right now. I want to thank the folks from Faith that have come down from Nashville to be with us, and I want to thank all of you that have come to be with us tonight. I really don't know where and how to start tonight, so I'm just going to read some scriptures. We want everyone to mind the Lord, and after we read these scriptures, then you'll understand where I'm coming from, I hope. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. We're going to read from the 12th verse to the 16th verse for a scripture lesson this evening. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, I really beg you to listen. I also want to let you know that you can come and seek the Lord anytime during the service. Don't worry about the crowd or anything like that. Your soul is more important tonight to us than anything that's going to happen. Amen. That's the most important thing. And so what you need is you need to hear the Word of God, and the Word of God needs to penetrate. When I get ready to introduce my subjects in a moment, I want you to think about Jesus. During his personal ministry, he used very simple things to make a complex illustration. And tonight, that's what my goal is to take a very, very simple object and try to convey it to where even a child can understand what you need. I think one of the most simple things that Jesus ever did was just sit down and put a little child on his lap. Boy, that was a big message. Amen. You that are lost, and all of us that are here, we that are saved by God's grace, we need to understand that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That's really important. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. With the words that we've read tonight, the Lord laid upon my heart this message, and there's a lot of preachers here. If you ever told the Lord you really didn't want to preach that message, but you did anyway, because you know that that's where it came from. When I introduce my subject tonight, you're going to understand that it had to come from him. I want to start out by asking a question tonight. And the title of our message is The Fire Hydrant. For you that might live in Auburn, Kentucky, that'd be Far Hydrant, because that's the way you talk. So I want you to be able to understand I'm talking about a fire hydrant. Does anyone in this building know where the closest fire hydrant is to this facility? Anybody? Boy, if I was a firefighter, I'd want to know exactly where it's at. If you're here tonight and you don't know where the fire hydrant is, you might want to take note of where it's at. For you see, if we had a fire in this building tonight, I would want the firefighter to know exactly where the fire hydrant is. There's one on this side of the street, and there's one on the other side of the street. I'll let you know that. One of them's right down here by the graveyard. The other one is right across the street. Now, do you know what color it is? If you're going to guess, what would you guess? Huh? You'd say red, wouldn't you? It's yellow and green. Not only is it yellow and green, but you see, I want to tell you some other things about this fire hydrant. Sister Colin, she said she was raised in a small town. Brother Jerry and I were not. We were raised in the city of Indianapolis. And a lot of times in the city of Indianapolis, when I was a little boy, especially in about August, it'd get real hot, it'd get real muggy, and it would get so sticky humid that it was so hot that, you know what we did for fun? We was hoping the firefighters would come and test the fire hydrant, and we'd get out there and play in the water to cool off. You ever taken a drink out of a fire hydrant? I don't recommend you do that. You see, it's kind of like the Word of God, and that's the way this message started tonight. I thought to myself, how can you take the Word of God and simplify it to a point where a child can understand where I'm coming from? You see, as we grow in our Christian walk with God, it seems like that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there's just so much there, and we cannot take that hose and just decipher everything that's in that. It's almost impossible. And so we have to take little illustrations so that people, especially those that are unsaved, can understand the Word of God. You say, well, how do you do that with a fire hydrant? Well, a fire hydrant is something you usually don't need until you need it. Think about that. A lot of people are going through this life. They're going through churches even, and they're going to a lot of places, and they're just going through life, and you young people, you're going through life. You're coming to church probably because mom and dad said you're going to church tonight. I can relate to that. I understand that very much. And so you come to church and you hear the preacher time after time. You hear these testimonies. You hear these songs. And you just say, well, I just really don't need it yet. And then you grow up and you're a teenager and then you really don't need it. Then you go off to college and you really don't need it until the Word of God hits you. And then you need it. Amen. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit takes that Word. And it is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it just pierces your heart. Then you need it. Amen. Well, tonight, if we had a fire in this building, I'm not advocating that we do. I hope it doesn't catch on fire, but I'm telling you, about a year ago, one bolt of lightning, it went into the ground. It struck my son-in-law and daughter's house, and when he got home, it was pouring down rain. He couldn't see anything but the smoke coming out of there, and the firefighters had to come and put out the fire. And guess what? There wasn't a fire hydrant. But they got it out just in time. One of the reasons they got it out just in time is because Travis, when he got there, one thing he understood, I'll call 911, the firefighters were come. He said, but you know what we want to do? We want to go in and we just want to help. We want to fix it ourselves. That's what Travis thought. He thought, well, I'll just go in there and I'll pull it out. But you know what he would have done if he'd opened up the garage door? Oxygen hits that fire. Boom, it's going to explode, and before you know it, everything is on fire. So he had to stay there and watch his house catch on fire and do nothing about it. There's another thing you got to understand as a firefighter, and I have had industrial firefighting training, so I'm telling you from experience, I've had to use a fire hydrant. Have you ever noticed the fire hydrant and how it is? It has three valve covers. Kind of like when you're looking at it tonight and you go out, and I would have just assumed that everybody's going to be looking for a fire hydrant when you look out. And when you look out, there's some things I want you to notice about it. First of all, there's three valve covers. Did you know that? There's three valve covers. And those three valve covers are the outlets of the hydrant that comes out. And there's a valve on top with a wrench that you have to open up. And it's got one supply line that comes into that. Do you know what those are for? I kind of look at it this way. It's kind of like the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You see, that's the way I look at it. I'm going to tell you, that's what you're going to need tonight in order to get saved by God's grace. You're going to need Him to intervene on your behalf. And
as we look at that, as the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the two lines on the outside, they're real small, and then there's one on the inside that's real big. Do you know why? The reason the ones on the outside are smaller is because that's where a hose goes in, where they can take hoses all the way across the street. And over here, the big one is for, you hadn't said anything about no fire truck yet, have I? Here comes the apparatus. It's the engine. It's called the pumper. And it comes up, and it's got a big line on the side of it. And you know what they do? They take that line, they put that line on, and then they got other lines that they can just stretch out. And that's what would happen tonight. This place caught on fire with all the people in here, and what if you didn't get out? What's the next thing a firefighter's going to do after he's got all those supply lines hooked up? He's got everybody starting to fight the fire. Then what you're going to see is the first thing they're going to say is, there's somebody that got out. Is there anybody in there in the structure? If there is, then they're going to go in. One firefighter go in? Nope. You're not going to do that. The next thing that's going to happen is your buddy system. I'm going to tell you, tonight you don't want to go into the fire alone. You better go in with the buddy, and the buddy I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you by the word of God and all these things, I'm going to back this up. But tonight, if you're a firefighter and you come into this building, you're going to go in. We're going to call it a search and rescue. That's what we're going to do. When you come in the building, they're going to come in and they're going to take two firefighters after they do this. They're going to put an SCBA on. You know what that is? It's a self-contained breathing apparatus. You know why? Because you can't breathe in here when there's all that smoke. And so if we have a fire before I get done, hit the floor. Hit the floor and start crawling. You might say, well, Brother Spurgeon, if we have a fire here tonight and I'm not saved, what do I need to do that for? Because you better be praying. That's what you better be doing. But there's also another reason. Smoke will rise, and when the oxygen will come down, and that's the only way for survival, is to get out of here. So you got to hit the floor, stay low on the ground, and do all you can, and hope and pray that somebody is coming after you. And when they do come in and after you, the ones with those self-contained breathing apparatuses, those Scott Air Packs, they'll put it on. Two of them, they'll come in as a buddy, and they'll come in, and there'll be two that will take a hose over here. They'll take a hose over here, and then if there's somebody in here, they're going to come in and do a search and rescue. Do you know how to get around in a smoke-filled building when there's no lights because the lights are already gone off? There's fire burning, and it's just a black smoke that you can't even see your hand in front of you. I have had to go in smoke chambers like that, and you cannot see a leg. So what are you going to do? The Bible says you feel after God until you find him. That's what you got to do. But you remember those hoses that came from the fire hydrant. Do you know that's your lifeline? That's your lifeline. You say, why is it your lifeline? And because when you bring those hoses in here and you start following them and you start to do a circ, right-hand circ, your buddy behind you is going to do right hand. Don't go to the left. You got to go to the right. And you just keep feeling after, seeking to find somebody. But you know what? You never get away from that fire hose that goes back to the hydrant. You know why? Because it's going to tell you how to get back out. It's going to show you how to get back out of this building. Do you know how you know that it's going to get back out of the building? I'll tell you, a hose, when you got it, it's got to stick it on this end, and that tells you that's the end of the line. And if you want to get back out, you turn the other way, and you go that way, and you don't look back. Why? Because you got to get out. You got to get to safety. And you say, but I didn't rescue anybody. I'm here to tell you tonight, hey, you better be ready, because it could happen at any moment. If you're in a fire, and you're low to the ground, and all the smoke is here, and if you haven't died yet, you better be praying that somebody come and get you. Does anybody know how long the fire hydrant was invented? It was invented in the 1800s. Until the 1800s, they didn't have fire hydrants in the city. They didn't have one across the street right over here on the corner. They didn't have one on this side of the street right up here by the graveyard. I'll tell you, they didn't have that. So you know what they did? A firefighter, when there was a fire, usually it was going to be a total loss, but they'd come, and you know what they'd bring? They'd bring their buckets. I told you this is real simple. It's real simple. They'd bring their buckets, and they'd start an assembly line, and they'd try to quench the fire. You see, that's That's what that fire hydrant's doing. It's dispersing water. That's something else you might want to be aware of, too. If you ever had a fire and you're by a fire truck, don't you dare touch that metal part where that water's coming out, because it'll boil an egg. Just a little warning. And I'm going to show you something else that's going to boil an egg, too. Listen real close. Jesus one day in the fourth chapter of the book of John, he came to a well. And you know what? You put down in a well, you put a bucket in there. You know, for thousands of years, they've been using the bucket. Why would they use a bucket? I'll tell you, they put the bucket in the well to draw it up and get water out, to put out a fire to drink, to give it to their livestock and everything else. And so tonight, as we get ready to go into this message, let's turn over there to the fourth chapter of the book of John, and I want you to see that Jesus, even in his simplest terms, is going to show you that he is more than a fire hydrant, because he is the water of life that comes out freely that will save your soul. One day, Jesus needed to go to Samaria. And so he cometh to Samaria, which is called Sychar, fifth verse of the fourth chapter of John. And then he says, when he came close to that parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being worried with his journey, he thus sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. And now listen, it goes on to say, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, listen real close, if you knew the gift of God. I'm telling you, the word of God is a gift. Jesus Christ is a gift. Grace is a gift from God. And he gave his only begotten son. And you need to understand that until you get a drink of the water of the fountain of life freely, you'll die and go to a place that I'm going to talk about in a moment. But before I do, keep in mind this bucket. This bucket that this woman had, but Jesus didn't even have one. It was about the middle of the day, and it was hot, and he was sitting on the well, and this woman came, and Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, that's pretty polite, wasn't it? Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? In other words, what she's saying, you're here, you want to drink water, but you don't have no bucket. That's a dilemma, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, if you're lost and separated from God, you are in a great dilemma tonight. Maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. In other words, you are bound for a devil's hell. You need a drink. And you need it quicker than later. You're not going to be able to get a drink out of that fountain over across the street. You're not going to be able to take that fire hydrant and get that water. Because if you do, and you try to drink out of it, it's going to just throw you back. Listen. The woman said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. You see, we may need that fire hydrant now as we live. But there's coming a day, and if you just listen with your heart tonight, just don't listen with your mind. Listen to what God has taken this, and he's putting it in your heart, and he's helping you to realize that you need that drink of water. You need it in a bad way. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And she said, he said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. He said, for thou hast had five husbands, and the one whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Now, you might say, well, what's that got to do with anything? I've always read that, and I thought to myself, you know, here Jesus is talking to this woman. He's met her for the first time. He asked her for a drink of water. But you know, she says, well, you don't have a bucket. How are you going to get that water out of the well? And then he turns around and says, you know what? If you take a drink from me, it'll be a drink to everlasting life, and you'll never have to have that drink again. And she says, well, give me a drink of that. Wouldn't you want a drink of that? I got a drink of that one day up in Indianapolis, Indiana. I got that drink one day. But you know what? She had to become very honest with Jesus. And you're going to have to become very honest with Jesus and yourself. She could have said, you know, well, any excuse, but you know what? She became honest, and that's what you've got. You have got to become honest with yourself, and you've got to become honest with God, because he knows everything about you. And because he knows everything about you, you just need to come straight with him. And you say, Brother Spurgeon, that's straight talk. It is straight talk. What do you mean straight talk? If you're lost and separated from God, you know it, and God knows it. I may not know it, the church may not know it, but he knows it. On the buddy system, you might want to take him up as your best buddy, because he'll be your best buddy. When everybody turns their back on you, he'll be that best buddy. He'll be that partner that'll never leave you. And when you get this drink, you only get it one time. The woman said, well, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Why would she think that? Well, she evidently didn't tell him anything about that, but he had already said, you've got five husbands, and the one that you're living with is not even your husband. And then she said, our fathers worshiped in the mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship? Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when they shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. You know that what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. Now, if you want to get saved in a fire, you want to know the source of salvation. You want to know, or at least want to know, have the firefighter know where the fire hydrant is, so they can at least control the damage and maybe save your life so that you can live for a little bit longer. But listen, if you want eternal salvation, there's only one source that you're going to get it. I read there's over 15,000 fire hydrants in the United States. Did you know that? I thought to myself, man, that's not too many. It's not. The land that there is in the United States of America, there's only 15,000. Where are they all at? You don't need to know where they're all at. You just need to know where the one that's closest to you is. He said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now that's the word of God. And the word of God says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm not talking about a spiritual fire hydrant out here. What I'm talking about is Jesus Christ is that water supply that will cleanse your soul. When she heard this, she said, well, when the Messiah comes, which is called Christ, when he's come, he'll tell us all these things. He'll make it plain. He'll make it simple. He'll make it to where we can fully understand. I'm going to tell you, Messiah has come. Amen. And standing right before her. And listen to what he said to her. I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came the other disciples. They marveled that he even talked to this woman. And you know what? They started talking to him. And you know what she did? She skedaddled. And guess what she left behind? She left her bucket. You know why she left her bucket? Because something happened to that woman. You see, in the meanwhile, it says that she left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I'm telling you tonight, that's exactly what you need. And you say, Brother Spurgeon, why do I need this? I'm going to give you some other scriptural references. Let's go to Revelation for just a moment. We're going to leave that. We may come back. We may not. I'm just preaching what's on my heart tonight. And keep in mind what Jesus said and the Word of God. Don't overcomplicate it. I think a lot of people, and especially young people today, I'll tell you, I don't think I learned to read God's.
Somebody might laugh at that.
But what I'm saying is the advances that are so evident and prevalent and all the technology that's available, I'll tell you what it is doing. It is taking our children away from what the most important thing in life is, and that's getting ready for eternity. So, I want you to be ready for eternity. And I'm going to preface by saying this. There is not one fire hydrant nor bucket of water in hell. And I'm going to prove that. Before I prove that, I want you to understand that the water of the fountain of life is available tonight. Keep that in your mind. You don't have to run over to the fire hydrant across the street or up the street, but I can tell you right now, if God is touching your heart and saying, you need to go outside and pray, you better do it. You better feel after God. You need to do that search and rescue and let Jesus search and rescue you. Because if you die in the condition you're in, listen to what it says. And he said unto me, it is done. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is in the 21st chapter of Revelation, verse 6. And he says, and this is a promise. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he shall be my son. That's great. That's wonderful. I'll tell you, there's nothing better than being a child of God. Amen. Nothing better. He is our protector. He is the one that will supply all of our needs if we'll just let him. But then the writer in the book of Revelation, John, says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now you say, Brother Spurgeon, we don't need to scare people into getting saved. I can't do that even if I wanted to. But what I can tell you is the Bible tells us that if you die lost without God, you will experience the wrath of God and you will be cast off into the lake of fire. And I'll guarantee you're going to wish you had a fire extinguisher then. You're going to wish you had a fire hydrant then. You're going to wish that you had a bucket of water. I'm going to tell you there's a man that's in hell right now that's begging for one drop of water. Say, Brother Spurgeon, you mean I can get that fire quenched tonight? Yes, you can. You sure can. Our God is a consuming fire. Don't you forget that. He is. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And not only that, in the book of Mark, I want you to listen to what Jesus said concerning this fire that will never be quenched. Your familiarity with this subject tonight, a fire hydrant and a sprinkler system and all these things that could put out the fire, I'll tell you, it's available now, but there's coming a time that if you die without God, it's over. It's done. it's finished. And however the state that you die in, it is fixed, and you'll never, ever, despite what you hear on the radio. I heard somebody the other day, I listened to that talk radio, and they were saying, well, when you get into purgatory, I can tell you right now, I told Brother Calvin Perigo, sitting right here, children everything out there in the world. What they ought to be telling them is the truth, and the truth is this. This is what Jesus said. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in the name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. And Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man, this is in the 9th chapter of Mark, he says, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. This is Jesus doing the speaking. But then he said, for he that is not against us and on our part. He said, now listen real close. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. I don't know who gave me this bottle of water, but I thank you very much, and the Lord knows who it is. Now listen to what this says. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hung around his head, a neck, and he were cast into the sea. But listen to verse 43 through verse 50. This is very important. He said, if thy hand offend thee, he says, cut it off. He said, it is better for thee to enter into life maimed, he said, than having two hands and to go into hell. And he says, into the fire that never shall be quenched. It'll never be quenched. Why? There's no fire hydrant there. There's no bucket there. There's no water there. The fire will burn and burn and burn. And I'll tell you, if you're in the condition when you're lost and go off into the devil's hell, that's where you'll be in eternity, and you'll never, ever have any relief. You say, preacher, that's harsh. I'm going to tell you, the pains of hell got hold upon me one night just like the psalmist. And when it did, it was real. I felt myself laying in that bed as if I was just falling off in a deep, dark, black hole where the flames were shooting up and the black smoke and the stench was coming up. And I began to cry out to God. And I said, God, what would you have me do? And all I heard was bow. And I tried for 9 years to do everything everybody else said. But you know what? When you listen to God and do it his way, it'll happen that quick. It happened so quick that I thought, that cannot be it. But that's exactly what happened. He saved my soul from hell. He saved me from that fire that'll never be quenched. And I'll tell you, I am so thankful and grateful for the preachers that had boldness enough to tell me that if you die in the condition you're in, you're going to hell and there will be no way to get out of there. Why would I say that? Because Jesus said it. And if he says it, I believe it. And it's as simple as I know how to make it. Jesus went on to say, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He said, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than to have 2 feet, to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall, he says, be quenched. Do you understand the word never? I've heard a lot of people say, well, he won't never amount up to anything. He'll never will. I heard people tell me that all my life. And I guess he's a half right. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you accomplish everything in life. Become the most richest person in the world. If you die without God,
you've missed it all. But if you die the poorest person in the world or the richest person, and you can be the richest person in the world and be saved by the grace of God, you have accomplished it all. But Jesus said, if there's anything, including your own physical body, that's standing in the way of you feeling after God until you find Him, I appreciate what Dr. Collins said at the prayer meeting we had Friday. He talked about how that Paul went and preached to the people there. And you know what he commanded all men everywhere to do? Repent. Now, Paul requires every person to repent. I have to repent. You have to repent. If you want to escape the flames of hell, you have to repent to God's satisfaction. I'm about done. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Jesus said this. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be... I'll just leave that off. 49 and 50. But if you want to know a little bit more about fire, I guess I'll go ahead and interject this. Verses 49 and 50, I have a chemical understanding of what this is talking about. It says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost the saltness, wherewith will you reason it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. Now, Brother Buddy Lovell, James is his name. Brother James, he works over there at Lovell Lovell. And he worked there in what we call the remelt department. And you know what? You got to know some things about fire. And if you got molten aluminum that's real hot, I mean just liquid, and I'm going to tell you right now, where you're going is hotter than that. But if that fire of that molten aluminum gets out of control and you take water and you put on it, what's going to happen? Boom! Explosion. You know the only way you can keep that from not being so volatile? Take salt, put on it. I guess it's a fire truck. Take salt, put on it, and you'll quench it. You put water on it, you're going to have an explosion. I'm telling you, there's explosions going off left and right in hell, and there's no way to escape it. You say, why isn't it incinerating them? Oh, you see, there's one thing you got to know about yourself. You see, you have an outward man and an inward man. This outward man is perishing day by day. There have been people that have been burned, I mean really bad. One of them was filling up propane tanks and had a cigarette in his mouth and Logan aluminum when the fire department got there. And he looked at my good friend Dickie and he said, Dickie, he said, am I okay? And Dickie almost threw up because his skin was melting off his face. He couldn't do it. What we're talking about is more serious than that. But I want to leave you with some good news. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, in closing, and I've just tried to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart tonight, and I sure hope it will accomplish what the Lord wants it set out to do. But you know what? This church is a church because people that belong to this church, like the testimonies you've already heard, that young man celebrating his birthday, you know why? Because they were born again. Escape that awful place called hell. I believe as the primitives sang a song, the only fire I feel now is burning in my heart. And I do. I've got a burning in my heart. Not for me. I've got a burning in my heart for you. Because everyone that stood up and testified that they've been saved, they just didn't tell that to just tickle our ears and share what happened to them. They wanted to honor God, but they also wanted to let you know that you can get saved too. The Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners,
of whom I am chief. Tonight, if you want to be saved, and God is dealing with your heart, and you're just really thinking hard about this, and this fire hydrant, and the fact that the place that I'm going is a place where there's a fountain of life that flows freely from the throne of God. And it's a place where you can come tonight. You say, here in church, oh, it's a spiritual water. That's what that woman got a drink of. She got a drink of spiritual water. Jesus said she'll never thirst again. The person that's truly saved by God's grace, you'll never desire to be saved again, because when he saves you one time and it lasts forever. And so as a church, the church comes tonight, and this is what they're asking of you. They're saying in the 17th verse of the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Maybe I ought to read the rest of this. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. You see, that word of God, you need to hear it not only in here, but you need to let it penetrate here. Because in our reading lesson tonight, it says that the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder both soul and marrow, and is a discerner of the heart. And so God is taking this word and he's putting it right where it needs to be. And if he's laying it on your heart that you need to come and seek the Lord, what he is saying is, come and take a drink of me. Come and let him that is athirst come. He says it 1, 2, 3 times. He says, come, come, come. And whosoever will, and I like that, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he calls you to come. Answer the call. And let him take of the water of life freely. Aren't you glad the price has already been paid? He said you can freely come. Freely come. He said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And there's some pretty bad plagues. And if any man shall take away the words of this book or the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and out of the things which are written in the book. He that testifieth to these saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Do you feel the flames of hell? Do you want that fire extinguished? You say, preacher, how do you know when it's extinguished? Well, I have heard a lot of testimonies in my lifetime. Former pastor, he got saved in a rocking chair. And I've heard a lot of others get saved when they was really young, some under a kitchen table. I've heard a lot of testimonies here. One that got saved in an apartment. And there's one thing that's common, not the place where we got saved, but there's one thing that's common about every salvation experience that I hear, and that is when they got saved, when that peace came in there, oh, it was like a refreshing drink of water. The young man that got saved last Sunday night, he said it was like something just poured all over his head and went all the way down to the soles of his feet. I was there looking at him. I didn't see it. I'm going to tell you, you can't see it. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it. And just as it is tonight, you may not believe a word that I've said. But if God's dealing with your heart and saying, come to me, come while you have this opportunity. As we stand and say, Brother Ernie, Brother Junior, anybody else that's here, and you know that it's God that's speaking to you tonight, saying, come to me and I will give you rest. I will.
come and seek the Lord while you have this opportunity.
191. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
young people. When I was a grown man, I was 34 years much torment he was in, about wanting his, to let dip of his finger, send Lazarus to him, that we might get some relief, and talk about sending him back to his brothers to warn him, because they didn't want to come to this place of torment. And I stood back here for a long time, and I wouldn't do anything. People talk about grabbing a hold of the pew, and I was doing that. But you know what? It got to the point where I couldn't take it no more. I didn't care that people saw me make a trip to that altar. I didn't want to die and go to hell. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be in that place of torment. But you know what? I went to that altar that night. The Lord didn't save me. But you know what I did? I started seeking after that lifeline.
Amen.
I grabbed a hose of that line, that water line you talk about, trying to find my way to safety. And I went everywhere looking for that safety. I'd go home, riding in the car, going home, I'd pray, I'd get home, I'd climb out on the picnic table, I'd get on my son's trampoline, going to work, and I had the shop down there in Franklin, I'd drive down the interstate, I was in such a shape that I had to pull over and got down on the side of the interstate under a tree to try to pray my way through. I was trying to hang on to that lifeline, and I don't know how many trips I made to the altar. But that's the thing, you can't give up.
That's right.
You got to keep on feeling after them.
Amen.
It's like you said, until you find that place that you find. Well, I found them at that place down there in Franklin at my shop at that time. He put the fire out. And I was on fire. I was in bad shape. And I don't know how in the world he does it. But there was so much pain and so much suffering in my soul.
Yes.
That when I let him have it, and like I said, a lot of people think you got to do a big lip service and say a lot of prayers. But the Lord ain't listening so much what you're saying with your lips. He's looking at your heart,
amen.
People.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's looking at your heart. And when you get that heart right, it put that fire out.
Amen.
And you know, I was in so much trouble, but in an instant, and all I done was cried out God.
Yes.
He put that peace in my heart.
Amen.
What I'm saying tonight, I don't care who you are, where you're from, what age you are. You need to feel after them, and don't worry about what people think.
Amen.
We're here for a purpose tonight. It's to spread the gospel and hope that somebody would listen to the word of God and their hearts get pricked, and you feel after them until you find them.
Amen. Amen.